Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen. It's up, it's up. And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX, now playing, and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Feeling like you need a punch of energy? Enter Wonderful Pistachios. I love them. The snack that packs a protein punch, and the best part, they come in so many flavors and so many sizes. Whether you're on the go or chilling at home, Wonderful Pistachios, they're the go-to snack for me. Here's the real kicker, the protein. These little wonders are one of the highest protein nuts out there. Just 1 ounce serves up a whopping 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. So visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. I love them. Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go, hour two. It is a Tuesday live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Thanks for making us part of your day. A very spirited first hour. J-Mac, Mark Few, Gonzaga coach last hour. We talked some March Madness last hour. UCLA coach Mick Cronin stopped by yesterday, which was so much fun, talking about all the different teams, regions, the state of college basketball. This weekend's going to be really, really good. So college basketball is diluted in terms of talent. So many kids go international, G League, they go one and done. But the first weekend wasn't as, I don't think the quality has been, it's a little thin right now in college basketball. UConn's clearly the best team, and I think Carolina is clearly the second best team. Although, keep your eyes on a Gonzaga, Houston. Purdue, Houston. I think Houston's pretty interesting.
I'm just proud of you doing March Madness back-to-back days. It was like pulling teeth to get you to talk tournament last week. But now that it's happened and we got good
teams.
Well,
now we got big name. We got Gonzaga and we have Carolina and we have UConn. We have big brands, big names.
Yeah. Your bracket's looking good, though, Chalky Cowherd, huh?
I am. I don't. Do you want to get it right? Or do you want to be people always say, oh, real tough one. You pick UConn. Yeah, because they look like the best team by 20 points in the tournament.
You didn't want Duquesne and Grand Canyon playing this.
I don't fall for that stuff. Just give me the best teams, the biggest brands, the best coaches, the best NBA prospects. Those teams win.
There you go.
Generally. Nick Wright in a couple minutes. So the NFL DraftKings came out yesterday and came out with its win totals. So if you take those win totals and you stack them in divisions, here's what they look like, and here's my opinions on all the division picks. So in the AFC East, they have the Bills, Dolphins, Jets, and Patriots in order. I do not disagree with that, although I have my questions about what's going on in Miami, but I think Bills, Dolphins, Jets, Patriots feels right. In the AFC North, I agree with DraftKings here. Ravens, Bengals, Browns, Steelers. I think it's jumbled. I think it's one of the better defensive divisions. I like Joe Burrow a lot, but I think Baltimore has a better roster, more momentum, and I do worry about Joe Burrow's health. In the AFC South, this is a go-either-way division for me. I don't have really strong conviction. I do think the Jaguars bounce back. I'm really interested in Anthony Richardson and Shane Steichen. So for our radio audience, the AFC South, they have Houston winning at 9.5 wins, Jags, Colts, 8.5, Titans, 5.5. I don't really have a problem with it. I think the Texans may pull back. I can certainly be talked out of it. This feels about right to me. In the AFC West, it's Chiefs, it's Chargers, it's Raiders, it's Broncos. I would flip the Broncos and Raiders today. I think Sean Payton will land a college quarterback. I think Denver's roster is better than people give it credit for. So and Antonio Pierce, rookie coach, Sean Payton, I'd probably flip that. I'd go Chiefs, Chargers, Broncos, Raiders. But, you know, again, neither one's going to be dominating. So here are the AFC playoff teams. I would put the Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, Bengals probably in, but what they have is Chiefs, Ravens, Bills, Texans win their division. Bengals, Dolphins, Jets are wild card teams. My pushback on that is Aaron Rodgers is a 40-year-old quarterback. His last year in Green Bay wasn't good, and this is still a patchwork offensive line with a defensive coach on the hot seat. I don't see the Jets as a playoff team, and I've got my concerns with the Dolphins. In the NFC, I think the Commanders are better than people think, but a lot of it depends on the college quarterback. Is he ready to play? They have the Cowboys and Eagles at 10.5. That feels about right. I did like the Saquon Barkley move for Philly. Commanders, 7.5. Giants are a mess, so I have them last as well. NFC North, which I think will be the best offensive division, they have Lions, Packers at the top, 10.5 wins. I think they're very, very good. Bears, Vikings, it just depends. Is Sam Darnold healthy? I have so much confidence in their offensive coach, Kevin O'Connell. Their offensive weapons, left tackle, running back, receiver, tight end, are exceptional. Not good, exceptional. I'd probably flip the Vikings and Bears. That's asking a lot for Caleb Williams, a rookie, to win 8.5 games with a coach on the hot seat in September. But I mostly agree with it. NFC South, I think this is the weakest division in football. I don't have a problem. Falcons, Bucks, to me, feel like the two best teams. Saints, Panthers, I think are kind of reeling. NFC West, I do think it's remarkable. The Rams won 10 games, have McVay, Stafford, excellent receivers, and 11 draft picks, and DraftKings thinks they could go under, they could win 8 games. That tells you the impact of Aaron Donald. I don't have a problem with this division. I think the Niners have peaked. I think their old players now are getting older, quicker. They're asking a lot of Christian McCaffrey, too many carries. But I do think the Niners-Rams will be at the top. The NFC playoff picture is Niners, Lions, Cowboys, Falcons, Eagles, Packers. No real problem. Again, I think it's asking a lot of a rookie quarterback in a good division to get to the playoffs. I would root for that. I think it'd be exciting. I wish Chicago would be good. It's good for my business. It's good for sports. The Bears are a huge brand. By and large, I agree with DraftKings on the top and the middle of their playoffs. I'm not a Jets fan right now with an old quarterback asking a lot of Caleb Williams and the Bears, but I don't think they're outrageous claims. I do think the Jets made an effort on the offensive line to get some more sturdy players, and I do think the Bears have done, Ryan Poles has done a great job in the last 6 weeks of getting offensive pieces. It's good to see the Bears actually spending money on the right side of the ball, offense. They should have hired an offensive coach. They went with a defensive coach. That's fine. Go spend money on offense. Don't be the Steelers. With that, Nick Wright joins us, live co-host First Things First. What did you make of I kind of agree with most of it. I still don't think Aaron Rodgers at 40 with that O-line. I hope he gets through the season. I would push back big on that. Other than that, I thought most of it I kind of agree with.
So you and I agree on a lot of this at the top. First of all, when your producers told me, they're like, hey, before you come on, Nick, Colin's going to go through all 32 teams' win totals. I was like, so I'm going to be on like 145. So great job by you in motoring through that. I would have lost a lot of money in you being able to do that in under 5 minutes. So that was impressive. I totally agree with you on the Jets piece of it. I think that the Jets last year were an old injured team and decided to fix that by adding the oldest tackle available, the second oldest tackle available, an injury-prone wide receiver. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been excellent at this point. Will be in 3 years. So I agree with your Jets skepticism there. Where we are going to disagree, and I hate to do it for the second straight week, is Your love affair with the Vikings is baffling. You're right, Colin. They have a great left tackle. They have a sharp coach. They might have the best receiver. In fact, they do have the best receiver in football. They are also in a brutal division with far and away the worst quarterback in that division, unless they're starting a rookie who they trade up for so they don't have to start Darnold. I think you're a little too low on the Bears. I just think everyone, and not necessarily you, but just America needs to remember, the Bears do not have the first pick of the draft. The Panthers do. The Bears get it from them. The Bears were not the worst team in football. They won 7 games. So I think Caleb coming in and being a 3-win improvement is totally reasonable. So I could see the Bears being a 10-win team. I also agree with you that I think they are a little too short on the Rams. Yeah. I think the Rams are there is a world that exists that the Rams have a better final possession against Detroit in round one of the playoffs.
Yeah.
And the Rams play in the Super Bowl. Like, I truly believe that. I think that Rams team was better than we thought last year. And next year, even without Donald, should be good. But at the top of the divisions, I tend to agree with you.
So, it's the J.J. McCarthy thing, I said at the top of my show, it's starting to feel like Zach Wilson. Where, you know, you're like, oh, he has what a throw at the pro day. And, oh, Harbaugh likes him. And it's like, timeout. He had 22 touchdown passes in 15 games with great protection, playing with leads, the best coach. It feels very Alabama quarterback where I'm not doubting he's a pro, but it was not an NFL experience. Always the best coach, always a lead, always a run game, always protection. I'm like, guys, they haven't played any games since the season ended. How did he go from mid-first to potentially the second pick? Well, do you buy that?
No, I totally agree with you. So here's where it's different than Zach Wilson, at least from my perspective. The Zach Wilson stuff I didn't understand, but I mostly stayed out of because I don't watch as much college football as you do, Colin. And if I was being honest with the audience, I didn't watch a lot of BYU. So I'm like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm not going to grind all 500 snaps. I didn't watch a ton of BYU. The scouts love him. I guess I'll trust him. I watched this guy every weekend because he was on the best team. At no point was I watching Michigan and like, oh, man, and they've got a top 5 pick at quarterback? Here's what I know. The game that Harbaugh's replacement had to coach against Penn State, where he's like, I can't screw this up for Jim. I have to rely on what I know I can rely on. They let the kid throw the ball. They gave him the Jimmy G in the NFC Championship game treatment. They're like, throw the ball 8 times and don't screw it up, which to me was telling.
Yes.
And so I just, JJ, I'm not saying he can't be a pro. I have just, there's never in my adult life watching college football been a quarterback that I watched more, that I was more confident on what their draft eval would be, which is a day 2 pick, compared to what it is now with no games taking place. I don't understand it. I know some folks will be like, well, when Harbaugh had Andrew Luck, he ran the ball. Harbaugh let Luck throw the ball 30 times a game on that Stanford team.
Yeah.
JJ threw the ball 21 times a game. And I don't understand it. But it sure seems like if he gets past the top 3, that there is going to be a team, be it Minnesota or the Giants or the Broncos, that are dying to trade up to get him from Harbaugh at number 5 with that 5th pick the Chargers have. So I guess he's going to be a top 5 pick. I just don't understand it.
You know, it's I have to be careful lobbing up a wiffle ball for you to hit out of the stadium here. This is really in your wheelhouse, but Sean McDermott had a quote at the NFL meeting saying,
oh, yeah, it is.
It's very narrow-minded to say we haven't been successful. Since 1967 in the merger, Josh Allen has the highest winning percentage without a Super Bowl appearance, and this was clearly the year that Kansas City was vulnerable. And I know Sean McDermott can coach. I've always used the Chuck Knox comp. I knew he could coach. Oh. But there's 2 levels to coaching. The guy that comes in, he's organized and cleans up a mess. That's a good football coach. A great coach can do that and then have vision and the ability to elevate people. And I'm not anti Sean sure. McDermott. I think he's category one. Andy Reid is category two. McVay is category two. So when you hurt, again, I am just lobbing you up a ball to hit. This is batting practice. But your take on McDermott, Allen, and the idea that it's narrow-minded to not say they're successful.
Yeah. My take is Bills fans, coaches, personnel, media, everybody, sycophants, need to pick a lane. If the lane is, listen, Josh Allen's a good player, and we're a good team, and there are 25 teams that would love to trade places with us the last 5 years, so be it. You're right. But when I, for years, have said, that's who you are. You're a good team with a good to really good quarterback. I'm called a hater. I'm called a denier. I'm afraid. No. It's 1A, 1B, Allen and Mahomes. The Bills and Chiefs, they're the Titans of the league. Okay, well, by that standard, you failed. By that standard, in your era, your rival is 3-0 against you in the playoffs. Your sub-rival, the Bengals, is 1-0 against you in the playoffs. By the standard of the great teams, you have absolutely underachieved. So either you're not that good, you're not that great, and you have just achieved what you're supposed to, but I've been yelled at for years when I've said that, so it must be you actually are great, which means this has been a massive failure of the last 5 years. It can't be both. It can't be this was a success and we're awesome. That does not exist. And if you're Buffalo, here is the hard part. Colin, I said this to you a year ago and then it happened again. Each year, they get further away. 2020 in the AFC title game. Okay, that's great. 2021, the 13 seconds game on the road in round two. That's a little bit of a step back. 2022, round two blown out at home. All right, that's a big step back. 2023, fire the offensive coordinator. You're 6-6. You need a mad dash just to make the playoffs, only to lose another home playoff game. 3 years in a row, Mahomes or Burrow have beaten you in the, or 4 years in a row, Mahomes or Burrow have beaten you in the playoffs. 2 years in a row, it's happened in your building. So what are you? Are you trying to be, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks or the Denver Nuggets? By that standard, you failed. Or are you the Philadelphia 76ers? Look at the MVP caliber star I have. Look at the wonderful regular season accomplishments and look at everyone else going further in the postseason. I, for a while, have said you might be the Sixers, but I'm just a hater who happens to be right about the Bills every single time. So that's all I'll say.
Okay, so I want to go to one NBA question. So we saw this in men's tennis where Roger Federer, Rafi Nadal, Novak Djokovic were all in their prime at about the same time, and men's tennis, along with Serena, was really captivating. And then Federer starts regressing. Rafi Nadal has injuries. Novak Djokovic, they all start regressing at a kind of the same time. And I don't think men's tennis for the next several years will feel quite as dynamic. It goes through cycles. Sure. In the NBA, the Suns with KD are 8th. LeBron's Lakers are 9th. Steph's Warriors are 10. And they have half the MVPs and final appearances in the NBA in the last 15 years. And it feels like men's tennis. There's a passing of the guard. And right now, I'm not sure who's next.
Who's going to take it? You don't know who's going to take the torch. It's a passing of the torch with, you know, you hope Anthony Edwards continues to ascend. It's hard. You know, it's hard for a player his size to be the best player in the league. There's a reason that's a very, very short list of guys under 6'6 or 6'6 and under who have ever even really been in that discussion. It's a lot of international players that would, nobody questions their basketball ability to be the face of an American sport. If you're not American, that's something that the American consumer seems somewhat uncomfortable or unfamiliar with, at least. And this, though, Colin, is where I would put some of this on the NBA, because I think some of the marketing and some of what they have prioritized has been short-sighted. So I will use, as I often do, your and my kind of professional relationship as an analogy. 8 years ago at this point, my goodness, when I first got hired by Fox, and you and the bosses decided that when you took time off, I should get to fill in for you. Was I definitively the best person to do those shows? The answer is probably not. But the company was invested in me, and they were like, you know what? Even if this show might not be the best we could possibly do, it'll be good, and we will grow the person. More people will know him. He will get experience, all of these things. As opposed to, what is the very best thing for this show this day? So here's why I mentioned that. The NBA keeps just squeezing every last bit of juice from LeBron, Steph, Durant, even though they know that era is ending or has ended. And it's because, well, Lakers games get the best number. Warriors games get the best number. Yes, but maybe when those guys are still here, if you shine a bigger spotlight on Anthony Edwards, on the Oklahoma City Thunder, on some of your next generation of guys, then the NBA won't be facing a real cliff when this old generation retires. Because we have taken for granted, Colin, because of how well LeBron has played at damn near 40, how rare this is. Steph is 36. Michael Jordan won his last playoff game at 35. Kobe Bryant won his last playoff game at 33. Steph and Durant are already, historically speaking, on borrowed time. And LeBron's been on borrowed time, historically speaking, for 5 years. For those to still be the three most marketable, popular players is concerning, in my opinion, for the NBA's long-term health. Yes, they need some of the young domestic stars to step up. They also need to prime the audience to know you need to care about the Thunder. You need to care about the Timberwolves. Those guys are stars, or else LeBron's going to walk away one day, KD and Steph are as well, and it's going to be a bunch of European stars in a league that's not quite as popular.
Yep. It should be noted, David Stern was a brilliant marketer. When MJ left, he chose certain people to be stars. The audience didn't buy in, and they lost 50% of their ratings. So it does matter. Networks make bets on people. Leagues make bets on people. And I think your take is, next week I'll ask you about the Chiefs. I wanted to give the Chiefs, since they dominate the sport, I do have them number two in my preseason ratings. I don't want to give you two.
You had him number one last week.
I've moved him down.
Who passed him?
They lost a corner who I liked a lot. They're back to two.
They lost LeJarius Sneed. Colin, you will never like Sneed more than you do right now. All season, I was trying to tell you they have the best pair of corners in football. Oh. You're like, they're good. Now that Sneed's gone, he's an all-pro Hall of Famer. I get it. I understand. We can do Chiefs next week, buddy. I'll see you then.
First things first, Nick Wright. Everything you love about Mercedes, the style, the tech, the comfort, the choice, is now available in electric. The feeling's all Mercedes, the choice all yours. Learn more at mbusa.com/EQ.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables. Ooh, yum. And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
When your business reaches a certain scale, challenges begin to surface. You deserve a tailored solution. That's NetSuite. They have a KPI checklist available absolutely free. Go to netsuite.com/herd, H-E-R-D. J-Mac with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
This is starting with your guy, Jordan Love. You're enamored with Jordan Love's game. Yeah. You think he's a superstar.
Well,
he had a good 8 games, Colin. Let's settle down. Packers did get to the playoffs, smashed the Cowboys. Love is in the final year of his rookie deal. He's in the early stages of extension talks with Brian Gutekunst and Green Bay.
Well, I think it's the right call. They want to see him play in September, then October they announce a new contract.
Oh, so you don't think it's coming this summer?
Well, I mean, it certainly could. I mean, I trust the Packers on quarterbacks. They kind of felt Aaron was declining. It looks like Aaron was declining. The Packers' offense was better at the end of this year than it was the previous year with Aaron Rodgers. That is not disputable.
All right, here's what Gutekunst said about the talks.
There's been some, obviously, preliminary discussions, but we want to do it the right way, and certainly the sooner the better, but at the same time, I think we want to make sure we do it the right way. So we've started, but it's not something that's going to go quickly. I don't think it'll take some time. There's no guarantees that, anything going forward, but we know how he's going to respond and how he's going to react and how he's going to work. And instead of signing a player that has not been in the building and guaranteeing all that to him, certainly having 4 years with him, I think, gives us a lot of comfort in what he's all about and how his teammates look at him and the organization looks at him.
All right, riddle me this. Jordan Love, no extension yet. Dak, no extension yet. Tua, no extension yet. Are they playing the waiting game to see who gets what before the next one makes a move? Like,
I don't think it feels odd.
Like, these are all known quantities. Love's been in the building in Green Bay for 4 years.
Yeah, they know what they have and they believe in it. Jerry does not really want to pay Dak $58 million. He doesn't. He may have to. The Dolphins don't want to sign Tua to a huge deal. They may have to.
Well, what timeout? Why do they have to?
Well, I mean, who else is out there? Miami, maybe they get Penix, but I think Seattle is going to move up to get him. I think Miami will draft a quarterback somewhere this year. I really do.
Love probably has more leverage than Dak and Tua.
Well, I think Love is going to sign a very realistic contract starting with a 4, and they don't have to pay those receivers and tight ends for several years, so it's not going to get in the way of building a very good team around it.
Love is younger than Dak, and he's going to sign a reasonable deal.
Jordan Love is more talented than Dak and more talented than Tua.
So why isn't Dak signing a reasonable deal?
Because he doesn't sign reasonable deals. He's been overpaid since his first contract.
Love just got his first contract.
Green Bay is going to be a better football operation than Miami and Dallas for the next 4 years with this contract. Because they have a history of drafting and developing. They don't have the chaos and turbulence of Miami. They don't have the ego and ownership that Dallas has. Green Bay, people in Green Bay think I don't like the Packers. No, Aaron wore me out. There was too much drama. This version of Green Bay, which is early Aaron, early Favre, without the ego and vanity, and I'm retiring. Green Bay's always good in Favre's early mid-years, in Aaron's early mid-years, in Love's early mid-years. They've been great. Where it gets prickly is Favre and Rodgers. They get, they start talking retirement. I don't want changes. I want this. Green Bay, if you go Favre, Rodgers, and take their 8 peak years, 16 years total, money. And I think Jordan Love's going to go on another 8-year run of money.
Okay.
Conference championships.
Oh, settle down. I am not a Packers hater. I don't dislike Jordan Love. How certain are you that this isn't going to be like a Carson Wentz, who, remember, was like an MVP candidate that one year, got injured, and then like just was a shell of himself?
There were a couple of warning signs with Carson Wentz. First of all, he was reckless as a player. Jordan Love wants to throw the ball and has great receivers. So Carson was a little reckless. Also, Carson came from a small school, weak competition, and had to play very quickly.
So did Love.
Jordan Love sat for 3 years, right, took times with an organization with excellent history of draft develop and O-line protection. And so the other thing is, very early with Carson Wentz, like year two, you were hearing rumors that he didn't really work in the locker room. Everybody loves Jordan Love, the GM, the coach. So it's a totally different dynamic. Carson Wentz was reckless, wasn't loved in the locker room. Hmm. And I do think Jordan Love's a little more Favre than Rodgers, and he has a little reckless in him, a little, you know, Josh Allen, sometimes you're like, dude, what are you doing? But I'm going to let somebody as talented as Jordan Love or Josh Allen, somebody that moves around, like Kyler Murray just does stuff other people can't do. Matt Stafford has a little reckless. I'm going to give you a little bit of that for the upside. Now, Mahomes, he used to have a little bit. Now he's just taken that all out. That's right. Why Mahomes is the best quarterback on the planet. I got all the upside and virtually none of the downside.
All right, I will do double or nothing on the steak dinner that the first digit in Love's next contract is a 5. He's not going. There's just no way he's doing 40. No way.
$48 million.
Give me the over. There's just, I just don't see that at all. You've got a great quarterback.
Listen, for $48 million, you can get a 3-bedroom, 2-bath condo in Green Bay that is lovely.
Next story is Brandon Ayuk. Listen, man, behind the scenes, Brandon Ayuk does not seem happy. He's very cryptic about his future with the Niners. He put something on social media that we'll talk about shortly. However, John Lynch is saying Brandon Ayuk is not available for a deal.
We're actively talking with Brandon, trying to figure something out. And, I always talk, we have a good history of working with the guys we want to get done to get something done. And it takes two sides. So can we do that? We'll see. There's a number of different directions, you know, that it could go. But we appreciate the heck out of Brandon and who he is as a player. And we want him to be a part of the Niners. And so we're going to work towards making that a reality.
So you love Brock Purdy.
Whoa. Let me get to this. So anybody watching will see. After that video came out, Brandon Ayuk posted this on Instagram stories. If you're not watching, it is an emoji of the money sign and then someone speaking. So money talks. And then there's a bull, and then there's a poop emoji.
Blank poops or something.
And then someone walking. Money talks, BS walks.
All right.
So it's pretty clear Ayuk is not feeling what Lynch and Shanahan are feeling.
So let me ask you, you love Brock Purdy.
I do.
Do you think Kansas City would just let Ayuk, like they did Tyreek Hill, go?
Wait, huh?
So they already pay McCaffrey a ton, Kittle a ton, Trent Williams a ton, Debo a ton.
Oh, do I think San Francisco would let Ayuk go? Okay, you said KC, I was thrown off. Okay.
They're paying everybody on offense, top of the market. Kansas City's like, Tyreek Hill, you can go, won a Super Bowl. When you have a great quarterback, you're not held hostage. They're paying literally the left tackle, the running back, their tight end, their other receiver. And now they have to pay another receiver. Why? Because they know you can't win big with Brock Purdy unless he's surrounded by great players, top of the market guys. You think Kansas City, Brett Veach, and Andy Reid would sit there and go, somebody on Instagram, they'd let him go. And they'd say, we'll go spend money elsewhere. This is the downside to having a less talented quarterback, is that everybody's like, oh, Brock Purdy is. Why wouldn't they just say, dude, you're taking shots at us on Instagram. Get out of here. We're going to go spend money elsewhere, save money. They know that the only way against Stafford and Jordan Love and all these talented guys increasingly in the NFC, the only way to win with Purdy is you basically have to have the deck stacked. You have to have stars at every position.
Okay, stop saying bad stuff about Purdy. But regarding Ayuk, Colin, he's gone before the draft. I guarantee it.
I love him as a player.
Everything here is pointing to him being gone. Listen, and he's been ranting on social media. The whole league knows this, right? Everybody knows he's unhappy with what's going on. So they're probably talking to the Niners saying, yeah, Ayuk wants out. We'll give you a third. They're not doing that. How do you create leverage? Oh, we're working on a contract with Ayuk. We want him here. He's got the plan is we're going to have Brandon Ayuk. You've got a whole firm that we're keeping him. We're not trading him. So hopefully, I don't know, what can you get for Ayuk? A second round pick? Listen, L'Jarius Sneed, one of the top guys at his position, just got a 2025 third round pick or something? That's nothing for Sneed.
No, I think Brandon Ayuk gets you a one.
I don't think that's happening. I think that's probably what San Fran thinks. He was a first round pick.
I would let him,
overall.
And my takeaway is I love him.
He's very talented.
But I have so much money and talent invested around him. I can make the argument, let him go, get a first. There's tons.
Who's giving you a first for him? Because then you got to pay him.
Okay, let me ask you. People now are paying wide receivers.
You just told me there's a 7-deep wide receiver draft in the first, 45 picks.
I'm just saying, you're asking me. You don't think New England is going to draft a quarterback and they don't have a number one receiver?
That's a good idea.
I would go New England right day one. Go get it.
They're kind of a black box. We have no idea what's going on there. They're new. Belichick's gone.
No, I'm just saying.
Maybe they do.
You asked me who would do it. I would say that one makes a lot of sense to me. Houston.
Well, Stephon Diggs is also out there. And
he may move.
Diggs sounds like he's going to be going. So these two guys on the market, I would go Ayuk. You're going to have to pay him. Diggs seems like more of a headache than Ayuk. But I'm just telling you, you know this. You can find receivers anywhere. There's not always going to find
you a... can't find Brandon Ayuk anywhere.
Brandon Ayuk's very, very good.
Very good. I think he's
pick.
A top five guy in the league. I think he's that talented.
He's not.
He's not Jefferson, Jamar Chase, or Devontae Adams. I can argue he's four.
If you had to put your top 10 wide receivers, he's not top five. Stop, Colin. He's not even better than Deebo Samuel.
Oh, he is too. As a receiver, Debo's a chess piece. Ayuk's the better receiver.
Pure receiver, okay, sure. But I'm just telling you, you can find those guys in the draft, in the top 50 picks. Niners could get one. I think Ayuk's toast. We don't need your head.
Well, he's not toast. He could be. I'm saying the more I look at this situation, my take is, I think if I could get a one for him,
yeah, of course you'll take a one for him. You're not getting a one. I think a two is reasonable. If it's a top 45 pick, a two and a sixth. Text one of your GM buddies during the commercial break instead of telling me about which airport is the greatest in America. Come on, get to work there, Cowherd. Final story. Let's go to the Lakers. 39-32.
Are they going to miss the playoffs?
No, the Warriors are.
They're their road. Have you seen the Lakers' road schedule coming up?
Brutal. Down the stretch. They want them on TLC.
They play Milwaukee tonight, don't they?
They do play Milwaukee tonight.
And LeBron's
out. Ankle
soreness. They're not, so good luck.
Well, they got a back-to-back against the Grizzlies tomorrow. That's a must-win. You can't lose to those guys. They stink. So they'll punt the game against the Bucks, unless Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell go crazy. And then you got LeBron to beat the Grizzlies the next night. So it's fine. So it looks like there are 11 games left in the season. LeBron says he has stopped looking at the standings and taking things one game at a time. Lakers are in good shape. What you don't see.
The three teams I want to watch in the playoffs are the Suns, Lakers, and Warriors.
Well, by the way, the Houston Rockets are 11. They're on your herd hierarchy at 11. They're half a game back of the Warriors. If Golden State loses tonight,
who do they play? Who do the Warriors play?
I don't have the schedule.
Okay, I'm going to stay home and watch that. Who do they play?
They play somebody, and one of the producers just shouted at my ear.
You'd hope they'd play somebody. They play, good God, they play Miami into Miami. That's a must-win for the Warriors.
What are they going to do if they miss the playoffs? They added Chris Paul in the offseason.
What's going to happen if KD, Lakers, KD misses it, LeBron misses it, AD misses it, and Steph misses the playoffs? That is that's like NBC losing Friends and Seinfeld in one season. It's like,
happen, Friends and Seinfeld?
I know, I'm not
time?
Saying it did, but I mean, that would be Cheers, Seinfeld, right, Friends. Right, right. They're all off the ball lineup.
Yeah. So what we need is, I know we love the Kings around here, even though I'm not allowed to talk about them on air. We need them bumped down to the play-in and they get knocked out. We need the Lakers in. We need the Mavs.
Well, the audience doesn't want to hear us say we want Sacramento knocked out.
I do like De'Aaron Fox and Sabonis, and
I like them too. I'm just saying, when LeBron's in the playoffs, half the country roots for him, half against. It makes our job more fun. And selfishly, I'm rooting for Ohtani being cleared so we can just talk baseball and watch him play.
Yeah,
I don't want him to be Pete Rose
for the season.
Yeah, it's awful.
Brian Windhorst had a great line. The NBA, if they could have their druthers, we would like to see the Lakers play the Lakers in the finals. That's what the NBA would want. It was a great line by Windhorst. And We don't want LeBron going down.
I will say this. The Celtics in the finals is good for business.
Not as good as the Lakers, but yes, good for business.
Good. That's a big brand. They've been good for years. People are kind of going back and forth on Tatum. They're a little polarizing. Boston's good for business. J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herdline News.
Save big in your water and energy bills with a new Navien tankless water heater. Go to tanklessmadesimple.com. It's Navien local rebate. Save more money, more efficient. Only heat water when you need it. Never runs out.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
There's no distance too far for the perfect trip.
Hi, checking in for...
Or the perfect table.
Hey, where are you?
Coming!
And when you get access to Resi Priority Notify with your Amex Platinum card...
Hey, this looks amazing!
I'm so glad you made it.
And travel benefits at fine hotels and resorts booked through Amex Travel. It's worth the trip. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
NFL Total Access, the podcast, is getting you ready for the 2024 NFL Draft. I'm your host, Andrew Levy, and I'll be delivering two shows a week to make sure you're caught up on the very latest NFL news, including every free agency move and how it changes the draft needs of your favorite team. Draft experts and talent scouts, mock drafts, and a few shock drafts, too. NFL Total Access, the podcast, is already on the clock on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Cowboys and Dak Prescott have a mutual understanding of his contract situation, and there are no offers from Dallas despite him being in a contract year. Owner Jerry Jones said, "We are where we are, loaded and locked for this year. No indication a deal is coming." That's exactly the way it should be played. I think Jordan Love of the Packers really opened eyes. There were a lot of people that were on the Justin Fields is the man. Even Chicago media, week 12, 13, still selling that. And then Jordan Love faced Justin Fields in the last week, and the gap between Jordan Love and Justin Fields in the same division was the Grand Canyon. And you could no longer look at Justin Fields 3 years as a starter and go, we got to play Jordan Love twice a year? It's just not good enough. I think similarly, Jordan Love going into Dallas with all those young receivers, youngest playoff team since the 1970 Bills, Jordan Love walking into Dallas and clearly being more athletic, more ready for the moment than Dak Prescott was a complete eye-opener. Jordan Love is much more talented than Dak Prescott. You are not a serious football operation if Dak Prescott gets a contract and the first number is six. You're not a serious football operation. I always say this. If you want to pay somebody a lot of money, what's the market? I mean, the Kansas City Chiefs are the best run team in football. L'Jarius Sneed was a good corner. He wanted top of the market money. And they said, we're going to trade you for a third rounder. That was the market. The market tells you what you're worth. What is Dak getting on the open market? So again, I think he's got a market. He's not making $58 million on the market, I don't believe. So, you know, I this is one of these things is, when I talk about the Cowboys with Dak, it's always the same thing. I like him, but you're paying him I love him money. You got to pay I love him money when you love him. Stafford, Mahomes, Allen. That's I love Joe Burrow. If he gets hurt again, I may change my opinion on Burrow. I love that quarterback, Justin Herbert. I'll pay him I love you money. The Cowboys pay I love you money for a quarterback inside the building. They may love him as a person, but they like him as a quarterback. This is not a regular season league. The NFL is not baseball, where you romanticize the past. And it doesn't matter if you never win a World Series. It's almost covered, like writers have their baseball gloves since when they were eight, and they go to the park each night, and it's all about the game. And no, it's about winning in January and February. That is the NFL. Nobody cares about the regular season. Ryan Tannehill's won a lot of regular season games. Nobody cares. So I think Dak Prescott is a regular season champ. If I'm paying you six is the first number, you either have to be an extraordinary talent. Josh Allen is undisputably a world-class talent. He hadn't gotten to Super Bowls either, but nobody thinks Josh Allen is less talented than Dak Prescott. The gap there is very wide in league circles.
Okay, so let's play the game, Colin. You said, basically, you know, you're not paying Dak a five or a six, which I get. So let's do it. Let's play it out. So the Cowboys say, thank you, Dak. We're not doing that. You've now hit the open market. Dak is on the market.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins just hit the market. He was snapped up in like 30 seconds by the Falcons, who may have tampered
by the
with
way,
him just to get him.
A team with a great O-line, great young weapons, in a terrible division. So Kirk in that division works. You're not going after Kirk in the AFC West. The NFC North, the AFC North. Kirk Cousins in that division has absolute value. But that is the weakest division in football. Now, if the Saints want to go after Dak in that division, that's different. But I'm just saying, Kirk's value, I mean, even the Vikings and their brilliant offensive coach said, we can't pay you that. We're going to go with Sam Darnold. And they know Kirk Cousins is better than Sam Darnold, but they said, in our division with Goff, Jordan Love, here comes Caleb Williams, stacked offensive rosters, Kirk, we can't pay you that.
So are you saying, do you think Dak would get 40 from someone else?
Yes.
Yes, okay.
Okay, that's fine. 42, 43 in the Kirk Cousins. But you start talking 56, 58.
Well, that's the problem, you know.
In that division where Philadelphia is well run, Washington looks like they got a lot of momentum going with them. I mean, I can like somebody, but then I want to pay them I like you money. You can't pay I love you money. Do I like you quarterbacks?
So that's the problem. Dallas is hamstrung. Hey, I'm your guy. I've been here forever. Pony up. Pay the top dollar. And like Minnesota said with Kirk, we're not doing that.
Hour number three next.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people,
It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.